Chapter 37. Ron drove to Chris's house feeling a little strange about never having discussed the date with Rebecca. He wondered if he should have called her, checked things through, but he hadn't thought of it until he was on the road. She seemed secondary to the evening. I'll tell her that it seemed romantic and exciting to meet her without having spoken to her first, he thought. Then he thought, if he said that, it would be the first time he'd ever made up anything that stupid. They smoked two joints by the time they got to Rebecca's. Rebecca answered the door, and Ron greeted her with a stone smile plastered on his face. He could see Patty standing at the other end of the room, scratching one of her hands with the other. Chris hung off to the side and out of sight from the doorway. Ron noticed that Rebecca was wearing the earrings that sparkled in the light. He thought they looked kind of stupid. "Hi," she said. "Are you going to come in, or do you want to leave right away?" "I don't know," said Ron. "Let's split," said Chris. "Hi, Chris," said Rebecca with a charming smile. "Okay, we'll be right back." "I hate parents," said Chris. "They never liked me either," said Ron. "The worst." They were still consoling each other when the girls came out onto the porch. Ron couldn't shake the feeling that everything was a little off and out of place. He was too old and not the right blood type or something. Patty and Chris fell into step behind Ron and Rebecca. "Where are we going?" said Rebecca. Ron didn't answer. It wasn't like him to not have a solid plan, but this didn't feel like one of his dates. "What would you like to do?" Chris asked Patty. "I don't know." Ron thought it might be the first time he'd ever heard her speak. He didn't care what they decided to do, as long as he could afford it. "The neurotic nemesis is playing up in Morristown," said Chris. "We could go catch some of that." "That sounds good," said Ron. He was in the mood for live music. "I would enjoy that," said Rebecca. "What about your vote?" Chris said to Patty. "I don't care," she answered. On the ride up to hear the band, Chris lit a joint and handed it to Patty. "This is pot," she said loudly. She held it in front of her and stared at it. "I don't take this." "That's cool," said Chris. "Pass back to Ron. I think he'd like some." Rebecca was watching Ron closely as he took a hit on the joint. He stared back at her. "Do you want some?" She didn't answer you. "Does it bother you?" "It's not my decision," said Rebecca. Ron wondered why she had to express herself with such little cool. He wasn't asking for her approval. He decided to offer it to her again. "I don't want it," she said sharply. Ron wished they could dump the girls right there. He handed the joint back to Chris. Joe Lee came home from work and found Hank sitting at the kitchen table with the champagne iced in a covered planter next to two glasses and a corkscrew. He'd wrapped the panties in a fine white tissue. "Hi," he said cheerfully. "Hi," she said with a definitely restrained happiness. She walked slowly up to the kitchen table and didn't sit down. She looked at the bottle and the tissue. "Would you mind giving it to me in the morning? I'm really tired right now." "Sure," said Hank. He looked down at the bottle and the tissue. "What should I do with these?" "We'll have it for breakfast," she said. She hugged him. "Come to bed with me, Hank." Once they settled into the double bed, Hank snuggled the covers over his shoulders so that he was warm and comfortable, and they would stay there without him holding on to them. She was staring at the ceiling. "Hank, do you know how much I hate the job I do?" Hank didn't know what to say to her. Finally, he said, "Yeah, working sucks," and went to sleep. The date was a disaster. The music gave Patty a headache. Ron could think of nothing he wanted to say to Rebecca, and even Chris stopped trying to perk the evening up when he realized it was doomed. On the way home, Ron asked Rebecca if he should have Chris drop them at his car before he took Patty home. "Patty is staying at my house," said Rebecca. "That figures," said Ron, before he was able to check himself. "Your attitude is just wonderful," she said. "I'm glad you like it." He'd been through enough of this. He didn't care if she ever touched his cock. There was a note on the table saying that there was something special in the refrigerator for them. It was Becky's favorite. Trying to manage a little privacy for Patty and Chris, Rebecca asked Ron if he would help her make some coffee. In the kitchen, she imagined that Chris was asking Patty out. She wouldn't want to go out with him very much. She couldn't figure out why he wanted Patty. "What are you thinking about?" said Ron. "Chris and Patty." Ron gave her a demeaning chuckle. Rebecca's eyes flared at him. How crude he could be. It was almost as if no one had ever taught him anything. He stared at the floor for a long moment, then walked over and stood next to her in the counter. He blew in her ear. She flinched and moved a step away. "Things aren't working out that great between us, are they?" he said, grinning, with what he hoped was a sweet smile. She turned to face him, trying to remember what caused her to think this bastard was interesting. "No, they're not." "I'm really fucked up," he said in a self-pitying, bitter voice. "The problem isn't that you're fucked up," she said harshly. It was the first time he'd ever heard her use the word fuck. It intrigued him. "What do you mean?" "We're just different, that's all." She'd been thinking about it for 2 days, and it was finally clear enough for her to express. "We're moving in different directions and rubbing each other the wrong way." "Oh, yeah? Where do you figure you're going?" "I can't talk to you anymore." "Sounds like a solution to me," said Ron. Rebecca blinked. "What?" "Let's do it." He felt more confident with her than he'd had all week. "Let's forget this." He stopped and showed her a hard mask of a face. "What would you call what we have?" He spit the question at her with a voice that had lost all restraint. He was telling himself that he needed. He growled it. Rebecca felt confusion. She had been more than prepared to let this go. It had only been a couple of weeks. She hadn't even slept with him yet. There had been a few good times when he brought her feelings alive with a tiny series of electric tingles that weren't exactly in her body and weren't exactly in her head. "I don't really feel that we should be talking like this while we have friends over," said Rebecca. "She's treating me like I'm her fucking husband," thought Ron. "I'll call you tomorrow." They had their coffee and cake with a smooth dullness. Each of them directed conversation at Patty and Chris and were very polite. They got in the car to leave and Chris said, "Pretty boring, huh?" "Yeah," said Ron. By this time, he was just happy to be out of there. He would feel even less restricted when he had access to his own car. He thought affectionately about it. For all the abuse he'd heaped on the thing, it was coming through for him in spades. It was true that he'd never come up with a combination of ropes and wires that lasted for more than a couple of days, but that was cosmetic. The important thing was that it never kept him from going anywhere. "I feel like driving down to the ocean," said Chris. "When? Now?" "Maybe not. Do you want to see if the frat party is still going on? By now, they should be drunk enough to be puking on each other, right?" Chris laughed. "Some of them probably will be." "Yeah, I don't care. Let's go." The party was at the Pie House in Roselle Park. Ron was amazed at how everybody seemed to know Chris so well. The living room fireplace bulged with a pile of empty cans that extended up the chimney. Four frat brothers were laying across two couches with beers in their hands. They weren't talking or moving. Chris and Ron moved into the kitchen, where an argument was progressing about whether the girl upstairs was spending the night. "That whore has been banging away up there since 11 o'clock, said Bill, who let a slight trail of beer dribble out his mouth as he talked. "The bed is going to stink of cunt as it is. Real nice for Judy and me." Dave looked up from the formica table with a tired, disgusted expression. "Did you really expect to be able to spend a quiet night here with a party going on?" "I don't give a shit about the party. I'm paying a full rent, and I want the room now." He banged his fist on the table. Dave didn't look frightened. "I don't know what to tell you." "Chris," he waved, "come on in." "This is my friend from school, Ron Tuck," said Chris. Dave gave Ron a funny look. "The radical press, huh?" Ron didn't respond, but Bill wove his way over to him. "You gonna write a story about how there's no niggers here either?" Ron tensed and wondered if he should get the first shot in. He clenched his fists and hardened his face. He thought he could take this guy. Dave stood up and moved in front of Bill. "Go back downstairs. You're drunk, and somebody's probably down there playing with Judy's tits, or trying to, while you're up here fucking around." "This ain't an open party," said Bill. "What are these guys doing here?" "They're my friends," said Dave. "We both lived at the Shore House with Chris last summer." "You know I'm not talking about Chris." "Just go upstairs." "Fuck everybody," said Bill, and slunk downstairs. "The party's really just about over anyway," said Dave. They drank a beer and left. Ron was glad when they were back in the car. "Tonight was one huge success," he said glumly. "Fuck it," said Chris. He rolled down the window to let the cold air in. Ron breathed deeply. Chris looked out at the clusters of suburban homes that spread for miles on all sides of them. "None of these people in these homes really want anything to change," he said. "Then they're useless," said snapped Ron. "They're just happy with what they have." "The price of what they have gets paid by other people who got nothing," said Ron darkly. "That may be true," said Chris. After Ron got home, he rolled a joint and went to bed. It was more of a ritual than a need to get any higher. He tried to sum up his relationship to the universe without the aid of a list of common set symbols. There may have indeed been a language through which he communicated with the images in his dark backyard, but he was never more than fleetingly aware of it. Whenever he tried to go back to what he thought was established between them, it changed. The eyes he stared with tonight would have almost made anyone ask what the matter was, but he found a sense of comfort inside of the dramatic intensity. The screen felt cold on his nose. When he blinked, his eyelashes brushed the wire. If he could just learn to be quiet, he told himself. Then the mood was broken, and he went to sleep. Jolie was gone when Hank woke up the next morning. The note said that she'd gone to her sister's and would see him later. He went to the refrigerator to look for champagne. It was untouched. Somehow, he wished she'd taken it with him. He drank a slow cup of coffee and chain-smoked until his sinuses began to clear. The slow-moving mucus made its glacier-like path down the back of his throat until he could taste it. It would finally gag him, and he would run to the bathroom to spit it out. Then he'd return to the chair and repeat the process. An hour later, he was ready to move around. He was usually sick to his stomach by then. Most of his days began like this, except for when he'd first gone to live with Joe Lee. It had almost completely disappeared. Now it happened every day again. When he explained it to her, she screwed up her mouth and said, "That's disgusting. I thought you just got the shits." After that, he tried to hide it from her whenever he could. If he could just stuff himself with enough coffee and tobacco, he could get along without it being noticeable. Next to the pain in his chest that he got from all the coffee and tobacco, it might not have been the best solution, but the operation to correct the problem was painful, and Hank's parents had convinced him that he didn't need it, because eventually it would just go away. Besides, he didn't even seem to complain about it much anymore. Hank had learned to use it to keep them from coming around. He could always drive them off by bringing up the presence of the slime. "The mucus," he would say, putting his hand up over his mouth and nose. They would scurry off. He mostly used it to gain access to the bathroom, where he could sit and wait for them to go out.